Opposed? Motion carried.
We have early privilege of the floor tonight. We have Joe from Pathstone with a few people there and Jim Papaleo from the development. If you guys want to just stand, give a little introduction and just a brief overview of plans on Horatio Street.
Do you want us to come up here?
If you'd like, yeah, that'd be great.
Remember Animal House? I state your name.
All right, well, good evening, everyone. I just want to thank you for inviting us back out here to the town board meeting. Just to share a little bit about who we are. I'm Jason Sackett. I'm the president of Pathstone Development Corporation. So we're a provider of affordable and mixed-use housing here in New York. We also do a lot of business in Indiana and Puerto Rico as well. So we're a not-for-profit organization. We have about 15 lines of business, and we're excited to provide you all an update, but also the community at large about what we're doing here. So this project is a 65-unit workforce project, and we also have a child care facility. So Pathstone has a really rich history in doing workforce-oriented housing with not only something that benefits the residents, but the community at large. So with that, I'll pass it to Joshua, our director.
Hello, I'm Joshua Fries. I'm director of real estate development at Pathstone. We're very excited to work on this project. We did receive an award for funding from New York State, so we're ready to start soon. It's a three-story mixed-use building of 65 units, a mix of one, two, and three-bedroom units, along with 8,000 square feet for a daycare, which we have an identified provider of that daycare for about 80 slots for children to use the daycare. And the building is 65 units. It's a range of income, so people qualify based on their income and pay a mix of rent depending on unit size.
So my name's Joe Gibbons. I'm with SWBR. We're the architects of the project. I'm trying not to block your view. Yep.
Just have the board up.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Everybody can kind of see it. So we have a three-story L-shaped building, 65 units. As Joshua mentioned, we have 18 one-bedroom, 29 two-bedroom, and 18 three-bedroom units, I believe. Three-story building. We've oriented the building up on kind of the on-ramp of what we call the access road, which would be the access to our property down through here. We've got about 144 total parking spaces. I don't know if we need that many, but we're showing 144 spaces. And the daycare, as I mentioned, would be right in this area at the first floor level of the building. There'd be a playground for the daycare here, adjacent to the daycare, and also a playground for families living in the apartments at this end of the site. The main entrance to the residential portion will be up out here, and main entrance to the daycare will be over here, so they're very distinct entrances to the buildings. And the daycare will be completely separated from the residential areas. In other words, there'll be no way for the residents to get into the daycare and vice versa. What'll happen is we're going to be developing about two-thirds of the site, but the other third of the site we're probably not going to really develop. That'll be the Horatio Roads part of the site, because we don't really need that. But we may have some walking trails, you know, through the wooded area. We'll leave it wooded, have some walking trails for the people. I think that's kind of a big kind of overview of the project. I've got some renderings here of what the buildings will look like. So this is from the parking lot area. You see the resident entrance will be right around here. The daycare will be over here to your left. So a view from the parking lot. But then here I've got another perspective. Again, this is from kind of the entrance road area. And driving past the children's playground, you see the daycare entrance is going to be right about here. And then in the background, you can see the residential entrance to the building. And then the third kind of rendering shot of the project is really kind of from the access road. So as you're driving in, there'll be some signage indicating the daycare, which would be here, and the apartments, both. You know, showing the bus stop, which would be, we think would be a great thing to have. But then entrance drive down past the children's daycare into the parking lot. So I think that was very succinct.
Yeah.
Right to the point.
And just to give everyone a context to, we're very excited. This, our primary funder looks at what's happening in communities. So with the Wolf Speed facility, this area is designated as very, very high need for childcare options. Jim can speak to what's going on at the other portions of the rezoned area, but this is our target market. So we're looking for hospitality workers, childcare providers, meeting people where they're at so they can be successful. I think the Micron facility alone has 600 or 700 full-time jobs. So creating this type of housing will allow people that can't pay $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 a month for a luxury apartment a great place to live.
Okay. Jim, do you want to give a
sure. I'm Jim Papaleo. I'm a professional engineering consultant. I'm also a co-manager for the entire development. We have about 50 plus acres of development that right now it's a mixed use development. So we're looking at all kinds of things like commercial stores. Right now we're actually talking to a hotel chain that's looking to put a hotel in the southern portion of our development. If you can put up the
small master plan.
Master plan. Well, that's really too small.
I have some here.
Oh, thank you.
My
property is actually off of Horatio.
I mean, they're all small, but you can pass them around.
Where the processing center is. So we have a property about 7 acres to the north of the processing center.
Do you
want to
pass it around?
The rest of the acres is to the south of the processing center. Pathstone's development. This is way too small.
Karen's going to pass out a few copies you can pass around, and she has those available as well if you need them.
Is that bigger?
Is
this bigger? Or is that the same size?
Yeah, it's
the
same size.
Can we just let's just keep it down so Jim can speak, please? Thank you. Go ahead, Jim.
So the overall development, this is the portion of the development right now. This processing center, Horatio Street, Mullaney Road. So we have access off of Mullaney Road. We also have three accesses already there off of Horatio Street that the state DOT did a while ago when they redid Horatio Street. So there's four forms of access. We are looking at access to Technology Drive. We've met with SUNY College twice now. The president and his team were very, very excited about the project. And in fact, I have to tell you, it was the president of SUNY who really said, we need a daycare facility here. Because there's so many students, older students that have children that go to school, and they're dropping their children off everywhere around the city and around the towns. So we found out that Pastel was coming to the child daycare center. We went back to SUNY and they were elated. The other thing they asked for SUNY was some type of student housing. Right now, student housing is a premium. So we're talking to some people right now, trying to look at some other housing. The housing that we're looking at now is market rate housing. So it's gonna be a little more upscale. So we're trying to work with SUNY to see about where they're thinking their students could go. And the child care center is a really big thing for them as well. The rest of the development, like I mentioned, is to the south, and it's all mixed use. So we're talking C-stores, so commercial stores like Starbucks and Nice and Easy, things like that. And once again, we're talking to a hotel right now that's very interested in the site, and also a marketplace apartment developer. So that's what we have right now. Programmatically, we're starting our state environmental quality review. We have about 3 consultants on board for traffic assessment. That's nearly complete. Also, environmental assessment, we're underway with that. And also our utilities. So right now, we hope we'll be getting underway with the secret process very, very shortly. I assume that the state will become lead, I'm sorry, the town will become lead agency.
Yeah.
I would believe.
Yes.
Okay. So we've already talked to some of the other agencies, the county, the state, trying to get together with them and find out what our needs are going to be and how we can move programmatically. We're also planning to meet with the first responders because right now with Pathstone's development and possibly the hotel, we know fire is going to be a big issue. So we're about to meet with all the fire districts and talk about access to the site. And in fact, right now we're thinking of, can we put up that one? This work? Yeah, that one. The town's asked us if we could put up a private access. I'm sorry, I'll hold it. Private access off Mullaney Road. It'll be gated, and that would be just for the emergency access. We have things called opticons, so they can actually be in the truck and open up that gate when they have to. So that's what we're about to do with the first responders. Also, we're going to meet with SUNY, their SUNY police department, to talk about how they can come to our site, because their students possibly would be visiting that site, especially if we get a convenience store there as well. So that's where we are right now with the project. Any questions?
I'm speaking strictly as a resident.
Sure.
I'm concerned. I'm 65, just turned 65. I have a beautiful home in Deerfield. But the time may come when I can't manage that beautiful home anymore. And there is no place in Deerfield that I can go in senior living. If I want to stay in my town that I grew up in, lived in, you know, supported and obviously supported, I would much rather see something in the lines instead of families, because we have plenty of land to build houses. I'd like to see something geared more towards seniors. Is that something that you've ever considered? Or?
Yeah, so that's a great question. This is more of a general occupancy concept. So our initial take of the market was that the child care facility would lend itself better to more of a general occupancy. So we don't propose any age-restricted units with our development. There may be others, but that won't disqualify seniors from coming into, you know, presumably the 1 or 2 bedroom units. So, and that's a great point. We have a similar development that we're just finishing in Fairport, New York, where a lot of seniors moved in, and it allowed new families to purchase their homes for the reason you're alluding to. It became too burdensome to maintain and things of that nature. So although we can't commit to, you know, having a senior project, if seniors, you know, put in applications, we'll certainly allow them to move in if they're otherwise eligible. Mm.
You know, answers, we got questions, right? So I don't think this is a place. I would have a whole bunch of questions that, as a board member, I've been asked by my constituents. But right now, I would like to ask a question that might clarify your presentation. You're talking about this subsidized housing, is that fair to say? And the daycare as part of a bigger project. Now you're talking commercial shopping and all that. Can you
mixed use?
So yeah. Can you clarify that they will be like, how big is the footprint of the whole project all combined? This mixed use. How much land do you have? And how far do you plan on building it out? It's going to be this development and what else? I mean, how far are you going with this?
We got about
this question at A.
Okay, we got a little over 50 acres.
Okay.
Okay. We have a concept plan. This concept plan it has 11 plots to it. Okay, we are under an environmental review. We're under trying to find out what the usable pieces of property are. We do have stream through here, okay? So once we determine what those streams, their setbacks with town, environmentally their setbacks with the streams, so once we get a better idea of what those buffer areas are, then we can focus more on what the usable pieces of property.
Yeah, I think we really need clarification on that. And to tag on to Clerk Day's question, you mentioned luxury housing, $3,000, $5,000 a unit, but yet it's subsidized by the state of New York. But then you say low income. Who's paying for that? Is that being paid for?
I think it was just misinterpretation. So what we're marketing to folks that are maybe, to your point, fixed income seniors or underemployed or part-time workers, that they cannot afford those luxury style units at $3,000 to $5,000 per month. So that was just off the cuff. I don't know what the street rents are.
Is this under the auspices of Pro Housing Compact that New York State passed in 2024? Are you familiar with that?
So this funding platform has been around since 1986. Mm-hmm. So basically we get softer financing, call it bricks and mortar financing, that allows us to send rents below the market. So it's not subsidized housing, if you will, where residents are being subsidized directly. It's, we keep our rents below market and the subsidy is the building itself.
Are we going to have a session where we could really get into this and look at everything so far more in detail?
Well, they're going to update us as they go, right?
They're state money quality review. That's going to all come out. I mean, we have to look at everything. We have to look at wetlands. We're doing a traffic study right now. And to your point earlier, which is very good, is right now we're doing a max type of development. So what we're doing, we're making our assessment. For example, our traffic impact study was based on the maximum use of that property. Say every acre of that property was pretty much usable, with the exception of the streams and buffers around the stream. We took that number, we had our consultant look at the maximum use of those pieces of, I'll call them plots, okay, for whatever we're gonna do, whether it's a hotel, whether it's a convenience store, a restaurant, daycare center. We took a look at that, and he then projected numbers, traffic numbers, that would mimic what that would happen in, say, year 2030. We had a build out, okay? And he took those numbers, and that's what we're looking for approval. So basically, anything less than that would be less than what we're actually showing you, okay, as far as impact.
So it's fair to say at this point, we really don't know what the total proposal is. You're just providing us with a snippet of one piece of it, correct?
Yeah, this is plan development. So as proposals come in, and that's how the plan development process works, we get approval for, say, our max range, okay, if you will. As the projects come in, say we're approved for, I don't know, for 10,000 foot unit, okay, or 20,000 foot unit. Someone comes in with a 12,000 foot unit. Well, we're already approved because we're approved for a 20,000 foot unit. You know what I mean?
So we'll just need further time once you have your secret done.
Yeah, all through the secret process. Yeah.
So we can really get into it.
Yeah,
okay. Thank you for coming today. I appreciate it.
A lot of it, has to do with timing to pursue capital. So our expertise is with this type of use, and we were fortunate to get an award, and other types of uses like hotels, et cetera, they have a whole different means. So.
Once again, answers, we got questions. You mentioned capital. What are your avenues of capital? Is it private funding?
Our primary funder is New York State Homes and Community Renewal. They allocate tax credits that are available from the IRS. So we use those tax credits. We partner with insurance companies, banks, things of that nature, where they make investments into the building.
What's the name of that again? New York State Funds and Homes?
New York State Homes and Community Renewal.
Okay, thank you.
In the back, yep. Can you just state your name, please?
Yes, Carrie Jones.
Okay.
There are what used to be townhouses on Herkimer Road that now it's called Park Edge that have at one point were these really nice condo type apartments that have now turned into Section 8. is, I mean, I don't know about anybody here, but those of us who live at the lower part of Deerfield, we're seeing a lot of, for lack of a better word, riffraff coming up from Utica. Shootings, drug activity, that right these now. Low-income apartments are bringing in over there. Is that what this is slowly going to turn into? Is these low-income families? Are, nothing against low-income. I work in Utica. I've been a Utica teacher for a million years. But I'm just saying, I live in Deerfield. I've been raised in Deerfield. And I purposely have raised my family in Deerfield because I don't want my kids going to school in Utica. So is that what this is slowly going to turn into? Is this going to turn into Section 8 low-income? And we're going to have all these, you know, drug activity, shootings. There was just a shooting down at Park Edge last year.
Yeah, so I don't know about a good way to answer that, but we self-manage our portfolio. What I can say is we have about 3,500 units of similar scale and scope all over New York State, mostly upstate New York, but this particular development has literally no Section 8 involvement.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have empathy. We have challenges, but a lot of that has to do with proper on-site management. So a part of our strategy is that we self-manage what we build. So a team will come in ultimately to the site and they'll build relationships with local first responders, things of that nature, so that and there's also a lot that goes into the design. Joe spoke to the child care component, but we have a particular plan around security to mitigate those things. So we don't anticipate those types of challenges, but we're well experienced if challenges arise.
So as long as that structure is there, you will be managing that property?
Yep. Yep.
You don't sell them off.
We certain assets we do but this is not something, this is gonna be new construction, and we typically are involved with the ownership of projects for anywhere from 30 to 50 years. So we have certain developments that are 60, 70 years old. So
my name's Ken Rozier. My question is, I'm listening to you describe this, and I think I heard the term subsidized housing, correct? Are these people that are moving in being subsidized? That's how you keep the rent lower than
the market? The building itself is being subsidized, not the residents. So because in a typical market rate model, it's not my area of expertise, rents support basically a large loan, right, to build everything. They may get other incentives, things of that nature. Our subsidy comes with bricks and mortar subsidy. So
I think the point I'm trying to make, and I understand all that, but when you go back to saying that, we manage these properties, right now in the news in Utica, we have many properties that are managed. I'll give you some that people know about, Wolverston Apartments. They are, in fact, managed, but yet you wouldn't go there tonight to visit. No matter what ends up happening, I've never seen a project like this once, it graduated higher. When you started at a certain level, it went from there down. It never went from there up. And the fact of the matter is, as someone who has developed properties myself, when you start low, it's very difficult to bring other kinds of qualitative people. By qualitative, you know what I mean, people that have money to spend, into these new shopping centers, strip mall, whatever you plan on buying, when the base of it is based on subsidized federal funding that eventually may or may not slip into Section 8. And there has never been yet a Section 8 housing project that you can make that shows a success story behind it, that I'm aware of, especially in our area. So I think, again, as a resident, and as someone who is in business and does this, my problem is that I want to make sure if we're going to build and have you invest this kind of money on a personal level, I'd rather see you not need federal money, federal tax dollars. I'd rather see this be like a project like I have to do. Either this makes money and I invest my money, or it does not. And the fact that we start off with saying, you know what, I can't even get you to rent my property for the cost I should have unless I get federal subsidy dollars, tells me already that the algorithm starts off. And again, and the only reason I bring this up, it's a wonderful project that probably will serve a very good purpose for some people. But the people of Deerfield got to ask themselves,
Is this the kind of project we want to develop in that area right now? Knowing the cause and effect, and knowing the projected success that projects like that start off with. That's the only reason I throw that out there for everyone to comment.
Next question in the purple.
Phil Sutton. My question is, you said you have approximately 3,500 of these that you manage. How many of those have Section 8 in them that you're saying this won't turn into Section 8?
So it's not a part of the financial model. So we do have apartments with rental subsidy. Residents can actually bring rental subsidy into units. It's fairly common. So you would see that in just about every community.
Miss, yes.
Lauren Caparella. So I just got to ask a quick question. Has this been approved already? Is this something that the board, that the town has already said is going to happen? Were you just talking about it?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Without everybody voting?
I mean, this is
not. No vote. It was all up and up on the zoning use.
All right. So anyway, let me say this. So this kind of a project in this tiny community needs a huge amount of municipal support. Is your development going to buy us new road equipment to plow and to do all that stuff and to work for the superintendent? Are you going to buy us some new fire trucks with big ladders that can reach up to the top of this three-story building or whatever? And where's that going? Because no offense, we pay property tax on my house. I pay a property tax on my house to subsidize what I need to do. Your people that are living in this development aren't paying any taxes. You're paying the tax. So, you know what I'm saying? How are we in this tiny community? How are our schools going to manage this? I mean, you're talking 65 units, and they could be anywhere from one to five children moving into these, and we've got 65 of them. You know what I'm saying? Where's all that going to happen? Because this little school down the road where they could go is not going to support it. There's not enough room in there. And they run across, you know, then what are you going to do? You're going to bust them across to Marcy or to Deerfield or to Whitesboro? Then now you're doing the same thing they're doing in the city. So I don't know where that forethought is and if the board has thought about that, but I mean, it bothers me that it's already been approved. It really does. I mean, it really does. And, you know, this is kind of just like, why are we even talking about it at this point? But if you're going to do it, if your board is the board, no offense, I'm just a little hot right now, but if the board's already said this is happening, then they better push with this. You better get some new fire trucks, okay? You better put some money into that and make them pay for it, and some new road equipment, and whatever, and pay for extra taxes so we can hire more guys to work the roads, because we're struggling as it is. The town is tiny. We're tiny. Are we going to have to add more taxes to us? It's just, I don't know. I'm sorry.
For the record, I'm on the board, and this is the first I've heard of this to this extent. I gave no vote of approval as a
you
board.
You weren't even here.
I was never briefed. What do you mean I wasn't here?
You started sitting there in January, sir. This went on way before
when
that.
When I started sitting here in January, I should have been briefed on it. I was not.
You approved
just saying for the zoning. For the public, and I was told that that was only to rezone. It did not give treatise or permitting for any specific development. So the public needs to have a say in this, just so you know.
No, don't point your pen at me.
All right, let's everyone calm down, please. We can get through this here. Go ahead.
Hi.
Yes.
My name is Stephanie Mariscalchi.
Yes.
I actually grew up with a single mother, and I lived in Park Edge, which this person mentioned before. I come from that. I went to Proctor High School, which is an inner city high school. I know firsthand what comes along with that. I worked very hard to move my family out of that. And now I am so frustrated to hear that my children who are going to this elementary school, now it's going to be overcrowding because, as my neighbor had mentioned, Deerfield Elementary cannot handle this many new students. Our fire department is a volunteer fire department. Where are these other volunteers coming from? They have to volunteer. You can't just simply hire people. It's a volunteer fire department. This town is not set up for this, and I'm just really puzzled to where the money kind of presented itself, and I think people saw that and didn't think it through. And I'd love some answers on these questions.
Anybody? It seems like there's a lot of questions and no answers. Jim Toomey.
Go ahead, yeah. Well, I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Jim Toomey.
Jim Toomey.
I mean, if people have asked a lot of questions and just blank faces, you know, why are we here? I guess it doesn't matter because it's already approved. I mean, did you guys consider any of these questions? Because I mean, you guys aren't even answering. I mean, who's going to be paying for all this extra?
Excuse me.
Fire department. Police.
They will have to get their own contract with a fire company because Deerfield does not have a ladder truck. They're already aware of that.
Okay. Well,
Deerfield will respond.
Saying, everybody's asking these questions, but nobody's giving any.
Deerfield Fire Company will respond there because they are residents of our town.
Right.
Which they do 24/7, 365. When they came with this proposal, sir, this was the starting point, and they had a build-out that they explained. That's why it's a mixed-use area, and they're trying to fill in the pieces.
And to your point, some of this point here about the roads, we have to turn the roads over to the town. That's done in every development, so it's not a private development. So they're not private roads. We have to construct them according to town codes and town regs. The sewer, the water, the roadway, evolving road, according to town standards. We turn the road over to the town. Okay. So the fact that that where does all this extra this revenue comes from? The developments that are going to occur south of the processing center are all going to pay taxes. So if we do negotiate in good faith and we're successful with the hotel, they're going to be paying a tax on that hotel. I can think it's going to be fun. So that's how the developers contribute is through the tax dollars that are generated from the development that goes in. Now anything above and beyond that, if there's something that can't be handled, like for instance fire, we've been talking about fire. That's why we're meeting with all the area responders to find out does Deerfield have sufficient neighboring communities that could assist in a fire that's higher than three stories, I think, yeah?
Three
stories, okay. So those are all going to be answered and satisfied under the state government requirement reviewing. So we can't move on until those questions you have are satisfied under the review. And we're just in the middle of that right now.
And what about the schools? How is that? Where are these children going?
Oh, I don't have an answer for that.
Well, maybe you guys do.
Well, we don't even know how many students there will be yet.
How many units?
65 units.
65.
The one thing we know about these is when we met with SUNY and county and the state, there's a big demand out of Wolf Street right now in Danceville. Their workers are begging for housing that, like one of the gentlemen said, is not $2,500 a month. Okay, some of the line workers are they're getting paid good, but what they're looking at here would be very, very useful to where they work. I mean, they can walk to work. Also, the president, SUNY, has mentioned that housing is a good thing because we have so many workers that work for the school who would love to live right next to the school.
Yeah, but he doesn't live next to it.
I know that.
Yeah, no, how sorry. Guys. How many of you two have these in your community? How in proximity?
About 2 miles.
To where it's affecting your school district and overwhelming it and so forth. Do you have a small little town or are you a big city?
I live
it's
in
all plays a part.
I live in Livonia, New York, which is very rural. So we developed a 50-unit complex, and we have these same conversations at the local level. So the school district has capacity, and that's a part of our process that Jim's alluding to. We have what's called, the technical term is will serve letters. So all the various entities look at each proposal and they say yes, they can serve it, or no, they can't.
And if they can't, then what happens?
then we may not have a project.
Gentlemen, yes, sir.
So I got a couple of questions. Is the project financed already? You have a bank? How much money is coming from the state? Have you put a total estimate for the project together? And how about taxes? Who's paying the taxes on the development? Is that going to the town of Deerfield? So I'm just trying to track some money.
Yeah, right. So
what's the impact for the town of Deerfield? Are we going to receive a tax increase, or not increase, fund for the town of Deerfield, which would help support the fire department? They're in the process now of trying to build a new firehouse to sell the truck they have. So you're looking for not one, but two ladder trucks probably to take care of that. So there's another expenditure somebody's going to have. So those are a couple of questions there. If you're already going, what's the price of the project? Where's the money coming? How much money is coming from the state? And if it comes from the state, what are the list of parameters that you can and can't do? That should be a public knowledge of what's happening.
I don't understand why the board doesn't know this thing already.
Yeah, so I can attempt to answer. So with respect to taxes, we'll pay about $1,500 per unit per year, which equates to about 60, or what is our tax estimate?
$63,000.
Yeah, so that's our year one, and it typically escalates from there. So as our operation is successful, the project can support more tax payments. On the capital side, the total project cost is about $32 million for our project. About 25 of that is construction costs, and the balance are soft costs. So things like financing fees. To your point, going to a bank, they charge us interest for about 2 years while we build it, other things of that nature. So this project also does have a conventional loan, and we work currently with the Preservation Corporation, which is a public service bank.
So you have money from the state coming? How much money is coming from the state? Because this is a state sponsored?
Yes, so the state through Homes and Community Renewal is the primary funder. They are funding about $20 million of the project.
And there's a list of what you can do and you can't do with that money?
Yep.
Maybe they should make that public for Tom Deerfield.
I have just a quick question. You said that tax payments will be somewhere in the area of $30,000 a year in that area, right?
63.
All right, so that means that we'll be getting about $5,000 a month as a town. Has anyone ran numbers to make sure that the cost of, for instance, are you going to have your own policing, or are we still going to have to rely on the county and the city to do policing as well as plowing? And if you look at that, does $60,000 cover what it is that we're going to have to pay to incorporate this within the services of the town? Has the town looked at that, just to crunch it and say, is it a net gain or a net loss? I mean, if it costs us 80 to provide the services, then we're behind 20 as a town. Mm-hmm. But have anyone crunched numbers to ask? I'm only asking, it's probably good, but I'm just simply asking if anyone's gone to do that due diligence to say that we're getting 60. What has anyone done about projecting costs as a town with this new entity that we're going to have to plow? We're going to have to make sure we have police enforcement. Just the obvious things you would look at in a project. You say, am I covering my cost to just the town? Are we covering it at least? I don't think we know.
Yeah, we have talked with our assessor, and we're in constant discussion, you know, with these things as they come along. But we have talked to town assessor to get those numbers to us. So.
Well, I don't mean whether the assessor assesses the property. I'm looking at an accountant, a bookkeeper, who says, mm-hmm. We're going to need X amount of dollars allocated for just snow removal, snow plowing, X amount for law enforcement because they won't be doing just the obvious things that the tax assessor can't project.
Mm-hmm.
These are done by department heads and say, this is what I'm going to have to do as a department head. That's how you come up with a real number instead of a guesstimate. I'm still telling you that I think that when you open up a project to subsidize housing, and I'm not saying that it's bad because you have many people who start off in situations like I did with dirt poor and didn't have anything you can try. But you have to be very acute that human nature being what it is, that you bring people into those situations that are not long-term benefits of the town. Now, whether you like to hear that or not, that's the truth of it, and you folks know that too. It's the nature of building these kinds of projects. Doesn't make it bad, but to sit here and pretend like somehow it isn't out of the 65 units, that 20 of them may not be people that are very, very marginal because it was the place they could get a subsidized housing at the place they could because maybe they got thrown out of the other one. Whatever it may be, the problem is you have to ask yourself, is that a good long-term investment for our town to build off of?
Now, a question that might preempt what you said, Mr. Rozier, is earlier you mentioned that you are a nonprofit organization. Are you going to operate this as a nonprofit? Is there a chance this will come off the rolls, tax rolls, because we're not? Can you clarify that, please?
So our corporation is a not-for-profit corporation. All of our residential and mixed-use developments actually operate as for-profit entities. So,
good clarification. Thank you.
We had a question in the back, a gentleman in the back, I think, right? Where did you?
Yeah, in the green shirt.
Oh, the green shirt. Yes, sir. Yes.
When did this project come about? When did you guys approve it?
The dates.
Patty,
you have the dates, right?
Came to the planning board in December 2023 with all of these. They gave us all of this stuff here.
Concept.
Yeah, all the concept, the traffic studies that you guys have done.
Why wasn't it made more aware to the public, though?
Like in the newsletter.
It was in the newsletter.
It was in the newsletter twice.
I feel like this is another solar deal. Just split in, and you guys are essentially supposed to work for us, and I don't feel like it's working in our benefit.
I'm sorry you feel that way, sir. I mean, it's been in the town newsletter twice.
Twice. Was it talked about in meetings?
It's been talked about at meetings, yes, since 2023.
Well, this is a life-changing thing. I would think that it would be more public.
When did you vote on it?
Do you have the date?
On? Seems like a fair
yeah. When
you voted. It was this year, March. What was it, January? Yeah, it was January of this year that the zoning was changed. There was a public hearing for that as well.
We had the public hearing.
That was for the rezoning, though, wasn't it?
That's correct.
Does this give approval to any specific projects? And the answer, I believe you gave it, Mr. Supervisor, was no. It just changes the zoning to open the door to future development. That was
for the mixed-use development, that's correct. Yeah.
That, yes, but it did not approve this project specifically. Have permits been filed and approved for this?
No.
So we're not there, and to say it's a done deal is gaslighting. I think you guys are going to be very fair, and we will go through the process as long as the board allows the proper process to ensue. We will get to this, and everybody's questions will be answered. And if anything doesn't serve the people of the town of Deerfield, I think you guys will be fair to alter it and to bend it so it does serve the people of the town of Deerfield. If there's any game changers or showstoppers, we will weed them out if we follow the proper process.
We've been following the proper process the whole way.
I feel
that's why these gentlemen are here. So
I feel it's starting to
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. But
do you guys all support it? Were you showing hands for that?
I don't know what you're saying.
I've been in support of this project, yes.
Yes.
No, please don't speak like that in public.
Speaking to anybody.
All right, let's relax.
No, that's not right. That's not.
You're not.
So, to support?
No, I'm not. I'm a clerk. I'm not allowed to vote.
No, I mean, this process is an ongoing process. So, it sounds like everybody on the board is in support of this project going through with the understanding that.
Who supports it? Please raise your hand.
Guys, raise
I don't
hand.
Think that's hard to answer.
We just have more support.
Yeah.
Okay, there's one.
Yeah, I've raised my hand.
Yeah, I support
that. Dave?
Yeah.
Let's look at the permits. Let's go through the process.
We're going through the process.
Let's get some permits filed. Let's look at SEAKER, and let's have a public hearing where people can ask questions like this. This is very good right now, but we might be exhausting it. But we need to do this again once you're further down the line.
Yeah.
So we'll take – this is the last question, and we're going to close it, please.
I might be the only one that's confused. Is this 100% guaranteed this is a done deal?
No.
Okay, because it sounded like earlier you were saying yes.
No. It's a phase of an ongoing...
This is, well, it's not 100%.
This is phase one, correct? This is phase one.
Yeah, to your point, the first phase was our property north of the processing center, the 7+ acres that Pathstone was looking into the workforce housing. And that workforce housing was a part of the concept plan from 23 when we first approached the board. We haven't deviated that at all because we know we were out there and we knew we needed housing for, once again, Wolf's Feed, Danceforth, SUNY, and a number of other companies that were actually begging for stuff. What we're going to present, though, for approval during SEAKER is, like I mentioned before, we're going to max out what we believe can be maxed out when all the environmental and all the other analysis is done. So what we'll present you is a maxed out version of what the concept plan will be. We may not have individual, like we may not have the name of the hotel that's going to be on the site, because we'll be at that point. And that's how most of the development works, because I have a couple of developments in Deerfield housing developments. You give them a maximum of what the property could handle. And then as developers come along and say, hey, I want to put a Stewart's there, or I want to put a gas station there, or I want to put a hotel there, or I want to put a marketplace housing there. Then these people come, and that property has already been approved for that size or smaller development. So what we will give you is we'll give you a plan to approve that has the max size that we could offer whatever customer that approaches us. So if we're approved for a certain size hotel because of fire, police, what have you, we can only entertain that entity at that size that we're going to be approved for. We can't ask for a 15-story Hyatt Regency to come there because we're not approved for it. So I just want to make it clear when we do it, go into the process and we see our approval, you may not have exactly what you feel you need. There won't be actual names put on those plans.
And the town board will have, we will have input throughout the way. They're more than willing to work with us. They're going to work with us every step of the way. So.
And there's interest in agencies. We have to go to the state. We have to go to the county. We have to go to the municipal water, sewer. We have to have DEC on board, maybe Army Corps. So there's a number of agencies that all are going to review our plan. They're going to scrutinize the hell out of it, okay? And then they're going to submit their comments. And we have to address their comments. And we have to address them in accordance with their regulations, and we have to satisfy them. So we are a little bit of a way, but we're going to move fast, because we have several consultants on board that already have gathered a lot of information that we need. Like I said, our traffic study is about 80-90% complete. But we have a lot of stakeholders, like SUNY and a couple other, Wolf Street, Danceforth, a couple of big corporations that are kind of supporting this. And that's what kind of led us to the workforce housing. We were out there, we saw the need, we said, hey, this is something I think that could work very well for the communities.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for coming in and speaking. I know we'll be in touch. Yeah, thank you. All right, we're going to roll right into the new business here. We have resolution 25-2025. Mohawk Valley Water Authority board member. Be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield hereby approves the appointment of Deborah Burke of 118 Tarleton Road to the Mohawk Valley Water Authority board until 12/31/25. This is retroactive from March 10th of 2025, at which time the town board approved this resolution verbally. I need a motion. We approve resolution 25-2025.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Resolution 26-2025, purchase of a 2025 Kubota ATV. Be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield hereby approves the purchase of a Kubota ATV per New York State contract to be utilized by the park system. And the cost is just under $31,000 minus the trade-in of our current ATV, which was $10,000. The maximum cost to the town is just under $21,000. And this cost could be lower depending on what Auctions International might bring for the trade-in. I'll make a motion. We approve resolution 26-2025.
I'll make that motion.
My second.
All in favor?
Excuse me, was that 2026?
Yeah.
2020.
Resolution 26, not 25.
26-2025.
Gotcha, I'm sorry.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Resolution 27-2025. Amendment of Resolution 23-2025, appointment of assessor's clerk.
Will you entertain a little discussion on this before we vote on it, please?
Well, you can do that before you vote.
Yeah, so...
When your turn comes to vote,
you can speak. Be it resolved that the Town Board of the Town of Deerfield hereby approves amending Resolution 23-2025 from $1,000 monthly to $35 an hour. Typo there, the dollar sign as needed. This is retroactive from March 11th, 2025. Need a motion. We approve Resolution 27-2025.
I motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I'd like to comment.
Yes, sir.
Number one, Mr. Paluzik, I believe that's who this refers to.
Yes.
Was hired for $1,000 per month.
Mm-hmm.
Was the proposal for temporary position, right?
That's correct, yes.
So now we're changing that to, it looks like 35 pounds.
Yeah, it's that was typo.
We should correct that.
Karen will fix it.
Now, a couple questions that I have is he could become the highest paid employee in the town if certain things get out of hand. Like, I don't know what the clear job description is. Was the position advertised since he's an employee? Is there a resume? What's the term? What's the system of recording his hours? These are questions that I would want to know answers to before I ever approve this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it's going to pass now because I'm the last vote. That's why I wanted to discuss this as a board prior to the vote. But can you answer those questions for me? What's the system of recording the hours?
Well, Mr. Paluzik, correct?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Plusik's here in the audience.
Can you raise your hand?
Yeah. So Mr. Paluzik, he's working hand-in-hand with Mr. Haskell, and he records his time respectfully, and I review those times. I talk to Mr. Paluzik about the work that's being done to verify.
So he turns in his hours?
He turns in a timesheet, yes.
Per week, per month?
He'll be being paid monthly, so.
So per, okay. And is there a cap on that?
Right now, there's no cap on it, no.
Is there a term on it? It was first proposed.
It's temporary through the end of this year.
To the end of the year, not 3 months, I said, with the first.
Well, let me double check that here, actually.
I'm not opposed to him. I hear he's doing good work, and I really appreciate that. Mr. Haskell knows how I feel about
him. Through the end of the year,
that he certainly
through the
help.
End of the year.
So I'm glad he has some.
Yeah, it was through the end of the year as needed.
Okay. Yeah. I would like that specified in the resolution, and being that it's not, and this isn't that I'm opposed to this. I favor this, and I talked to Mr. Haskell about this. I was happy to hear that he has an assistant. It's really needed. But because these things aren't clearly specified in the resolution, I am not approving or voting yes on this resolution specifically. I am voting no.
Okay.
So do I still do all in favor?
No, we've already done that.
4-1.
Yep. And just so you know, we have a responsibility to the New York State Office of Real Property and the residents of the town to get the proper work done by July 1 of 2025. So when everything's complete, we'll revisit all these issues. You know, even though it's going to cost the town a little bit of extra money, we have a responsibility to the town to get this done. We'll move right along to Resolution 28-2025, approval of $500 for the FY 2026 federal grant. Be it resolved, the Town Board of the Town of Deerfield hereby approves the payment of $500 to grant writer Mr. Don Hall, a grant application for $650,000 toward our proposed town trash transfer and recycling building located at the town highway garage. If you guys remember, we had this. This is the third time we'll be applying for it. Last year we had it set in stone. We were told by Brandon Williams that we would be receiving this, and it was pulled. And that was for $500,000. This will be submitted through Senator Charles Schumer's office. The deadline was April 4th, 2025 at 11:59 p.m. And per verbal approval, the town board all voted yes in lieu of this resolution. And on Thursday, April 3rd, 2025, Councilperson Fusco rescinded his yes vote, making it 4-1 in favor of moving forward with this resolution. So I need a motion we approve resolution 28-2025.
I'll make that motion.
I second.
I did not vote no because I do not support it. I told Councilman Sackler that I support this 100%.
I didn't say you didn't support it.
No, no, I'm saying why I voted no. This is the discussion part of these resolutions.
Yes, yes.
So, once again, it was how it was done, and I'm not sure. I felt very uncomfortable with the verbal approval that the town board had met, even with the teleconference, and all of us spoke in quorum.
No, we did not.
Then I would have had no problem, but I didn't want to be party to something going out of formality through a phone call with another council person. I'm not sure if you had authority. I don't know how the law works. Maybe this question for Mr. Smith. But did you have authority as a member of the board, no additional executive authority than anyone else has? Did he have authority to make that phone call?
Yeah, I'm going to let Phil, because he's been working on this,
okay,
he can address this.
When we became aware after the Trump administration canceled our FY 2025 grant for $550,000 that we were supposed to get maybe this month, we had a two-day notice to apply for 2026, which I explained to you.
No, you did. Yeah.
Okay, we had till Friday, April 4th, and I called you on April 2nd. I needed permission to spend $500 to possibly get $650,000. You told me on the phone yes, and then you emailed me the following day, it's attached, that you changed your vote. So you can't be in favor of it one day and against it the other day, and at a meeting in the public, say you're totally in favor of it, but voted no. That's why it went verbally, because of the time frame. We meet once a month. It was after our March meeting and before our April meeting, and we have no choice sometimes to do things like that, which is perfectly proper. I only needed 3 yes votes to spend the $500. It could have been you, me, and her against those two, and it passes.
I expressed my position.
So yeah, okay.
We'll say anything further.
Okay.
So you vote no.
Did we get the vote? Did we get Dan's vote?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he did. It's a no vote.
Okay,
it's
she just had it. Just for Karen. Yep.
Okay.
All right, we also have 2 resolutions we're adding to the agenda, which I'll write up after the meeting. Resolution 29-2025 will be approval of local law number 1 for short-term rentals. And that's just, Patty, if you'd like to explain what that law entails.
Well, after we reviewed, we spent about the plan. We spent about 3 months or 4 months reviewing whether or not we wanted to allow short-term rentals in the town. And the more research we did, we basically came to the conclusion that the town doesn't have the resources to enforce this. And this is a question anytime we try and enact any type of regulations or ordinances is. It really comes down to whether we can enforce it. And the more research we did, and the more we tried to protect the town and the town residents, the more cumbersome it became. So in the end, the best course of action we felt was right now to prohibit short-term rentals.
Right.
In all districts of the town. One of the options we looked at was allowing them, well, in some districts, zoning districts of the town, and not in others, regulations, who is going to enforce it? All that is going to fall into the lap of the code enforcement officer, who right now can barely keep up with it, what he has on his plate.
We have no law enforcement in the town, so any complaints have to be called out to sheriffs or state police, and response time is slow, and they are not interested. For the most part, they have bigger fish to fry. So basically, our decision at that point was to just prohibit them.
Prohibit short-term rentals, which is one, the period of, they're less than 30 days, yes.
Yep.
I like it.
So I will write that resolution up, but I'd like to make a motion. We approve resolution 2025, excuse me.
Aye, motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
And we have one more that's going to be added on. It's resolution 30-2025, which will be the public hearing for the moratorium on all battery storage systems. We will set that public hearing for May 12th at 6:15 p.m. I need a motion. We approve resolution 30-2025.
I'll make that motion.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I'm sorry, that was May when?
May 12th.
This is
6:15. Yep, right before the next town board. All right, we're moving on to official reports. County Legislator Dave Buck.
Good evening. So, obviously, we're hopeful that winter is gone, but Wednesday looks like snow. But if it doesn't come, we'll see the county out and start repairing roads from the harsh winter. We'll start working on those. So if there's something that you guys are aware of and you want to address, please let me know. We will continue to monitor Cosby Road, Cosby Manor Road with the speed. We're hoping to get our speed trailers refurbished. They're in the maintenance facilities now. Get them out onto the roads as soon as they're ready to go, and hopefully corral any speeding the spring has sprung. Otherwise, that's about it. The only other thing I have is I got two resident complaints. One was on a codes issue, so I did tell them to contact the codes officer. And the other one was unfounded. It just didn't make sense, so I kind of told him to call you, Greg.
Okay. Appreciate that. Thanks. When was that? Was that recent? Just like, because
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago? Okay. I haven't seen anything yet. All right, thanks, Dave. We'll go start with Mr. Fusco.
Just a couple things. The residents of McIntyre Road have given me a petition. I have a copy for you, Sam, and one for you for our record. But it's essentially their concern regarding the current condition of McIntyre Road. And I went there the other day and I took some pictures, and what I found was of concern, you know, like severe potholes that can be damaging to cars and public safety, and also road sides that are totally congested. There's no way for the water to be removed from the roadside. So they put together and delivered to my door a petition with signatures. I think it's everyone that lives on that road. So as a representative, it's my obligation to forward to you.
Okay.
Okay. The other is without mentioning street addresses because of the privacy and safety concerns. But I have, once again, I have a letter that I received from a resident for a property on Trenton Road that might be a codes concern. I don't know. I would like to forward this to Mr. Maxwell. It's a home that used to be a single family. The next thing you know, it's two family. Now there's three unit home. And the residents are concerned whether or not that's a codes violation for three unit housing on Trenton Road. I don't know, it's out of my league here, but they wrote a very detailed two-page letter that I would like to submit to Mr. Maxwell and then to the board for the record.
Okay. You ought to leave a copy in his mailbox.
Yeah, I'm gonna give the clerk that, please.
Okay.
So, you know, there's another element to that, too.
You can leave a copy. Just take my copy.
There's
two.
there's kind of what appears to be nefarious activity that scares the heck out of them. Just the bellowing, pot smoke out the windows, and police coming to the house.
So. I'm sorry, where was that again?
I don't want to give the address.
Oh, okay. This is the same one?
Because of privacy.
Yes. Okay, I'm sorry.
Same one.
Okay.
So I had to advise them, you know, if there's a code violation, that's a concern of the town, but if they feel that their safety is in jeopardy, please, by all means, call the police.
Yeah.
Right? So one other thing, if I may, that I would just want to put on record that I had submitted, I drafted a resolution to set some parameters for the new committee that's forming to look at updating the comprehensive master plan. I'm extremely happy that we are doing that, but I offered up a resolution to set some parameters, like appointed to the committee, preferably shall be individuals, I'm not saying the co-chairs, I have no problem with that choice, but appointed to the committee, preferably shall be individuals with expertise and background in real estate, environmental sciences, agriculture, civil engineering and law. And I know for a fact there's people in our community that if we take the time and field that to the community, we will get some experts that can make some very, very solid decisions under the guidance of the co-chairs that you appointed.
Okay.
It's important, you know, there was three whereases, and one was that we recognize that the 1993 Comprehensive Master Plan is outdated. I think the board recognizes that. Also, a comprehensive master plan is critically important to addressing any revision to zoning laws and land use regulations. We know that, but I wanted to set some parameters so we can get experts in those areas who can really help the committee to make solid recommendations to the board. The other thing, too, is that little known, but when you have a comprehensive master plan that is very solid, or you have a committee before you apply for a grant, like Councilperson Sacco is proceeding to do, when you have a committee, you have much higher standing to receive a grant. And as we know, these things cost a lot of money. So if you show that we have a committee with, you know, four or five experts in these very fields, it's really good. And I've applied for grants like this before. It really improves your rating, so you're more apt to get the grant. So now I just like to comment. I was a little surprised that was not presented today. And I read your letter, Mr. Supervisor, and I appreciated you taking the time. But I want to point out something. That in the letter it says, I feel that I submitted an email, I, there's over a dozen, 14 I's and they's.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in there referred at all to any board review or board decisions. So I wanted to bring that out.
Well, I believe under Section 63 of town law, it states that the supervisor may from time to time appoint one or more committees consisting of members of the board, if so, to aid and assist the board in the reference of these duties. So,
I referred to that, and it clearly stated that I have it right here.
Mm-hmm.
No, a New York town supervisor cannot appoint without board approval for most positions. Now, this may fall under those most positions. I'm not necessarily questioning that. It might, but I think, you know, I've worked with a lot of highly intelligent people in my day, but I never met one single person that was smarter than a well-run board. You hit genius when you've got five people working together.
Mm-hmm.
When you have one person who's really smart, he has limitations. So even if this does fall under the in most positions category, I don't know, I'm not a lawyer, it still is good practice to consult the board and I mean, that seems to be a theme today. Consult the board.
Okay.
Engage the board. Because this is, you know, we're all elected officials by the people of the town. Use us. Let us represent our constituency. That's
okay.
The end of my report. Thank you.
Yep. Councilperson Kolick.
Yeah, I received a call at the end of last month from Kelly Slaney in Walker Road. She had some repair work done to her front porch, and she talked to Mr. Maxwell as far as permitting goes. And she gave him the information. He gave a verbal okay to go ahead and do it. However, the that's where it ended. She got the work done, and 6 months later, he got a call from collecting for the permit. She wasn't complaining about it. It was just the process, and she was asking about the process.
I was here when she brought the
money up. Yeah, so it was just a matter of maybe following up with this Mr. Maxwell on the process to make sure the permit is completed,
okay,
payment is received before work is complete.
You might want to tell her we're not going to charge her interest for
yeah. And the other thing was I did attend the New York State Tug Hill Conference, and I went to the Planning Board Overview Seminar, and Councilman Fusco spoke about the Comprehensive Master Plan. I spoke with the gentleman, Eric Arena, from the Division of Local Government Services, which stated that there is guidance and possible funding to help in the redevelopment of the town's master plan. So I have all this information, and I will share it with the committee. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Councilperson Jones.
Nothing to report at this time.
Councilperson Filsack.
Thank you. I've got a couple items of interest. First is the Crescent Circle at Edgewood Place. Those jobs have been split in half. Years ago under the Hardy administration, it was one job. It couldn't proceed the way it was engineered. So now it's been split into two stormwater projects. We received a quote from JMT Engineering, who did the original study, for $31,000. Sam is getting all the material costs together for each job separately. But in order to move forward, we need three easements, because the last opportunity to help those people is going east above the city line to the main drain on Elmdale Avenue, Utica. So we haven't spent any money, we're just collected data on money, but we need three easements and we need all three or the job's done. So tonight I'd like to ask the board, I put together some information for our town attorney, Bill, to help him prepare the easements if we can agree on. I think we need to give a cash stipend one time to these residents who are going to grant the easements. And I was wondering what the board felt about a monetary value. Two lots are 500 feet wide, and one's 200 feet on a finish lawn where the pipe would be buried, but the other 1,000 foot is open trench. Sam and I were down there today. Sam fell, by the way, but he's not put in a claim. He took a picture. It looks to be about, we're looking for 25 foot wide for a track hole and for maintenance. And it looks to be about 400 or maybe a little more foot where some dense wooded garbage has to be cleared. So we'll have to get a price on that. After you get down in there, the elevation drops nicely. It's real marginal at the bottom of Crescent Circle from the bottom of the circle to where it would inlet into the woods. So there's still some variables to look at, but we've been working on it for a few years, and I think we need to make an offer to these three people to see if we can secure these easements, because if we can't, this is the last opportunity. We had three options, two didn't work out. So what would the board think would be fair to offer these people for a 25-foot permanent easement?
Do we have any history as far as paying easements?
Oh, yeah, When I was supervisor of the water districts, we had to get several easements. Mm-hmm. And we went over the river and through the woods here on Walker Road. And it can be challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are very nice about it, and some people, it's their land, they want what's just.
What were the lot sizes? 500 foot lot?
Wide.
Oh, wide?
Bottom,
right.
Yeah, two of them. They're basically all run from Cosby Manor South. And we're held to 50 foot from the city of North Utica line. But this open ditch, we would put the spoils on the south side. There would be no way Utica can be inundated with any water like it's been in the past. I mean, Sam's seen it bounce off houses, bounce through there.
Are these the properties at the end going into the ravine?
The circle off Cosby Manor Road, it's a cul-de-sac.
Yes. Yeah, are they the houses on the end?
The right, whole street.
Which houses would you like the easements on?
I've got a map.
It's at the bottom right.
It's at the bottom.
Go left.
On the right hand side.
There's three on it.
Yep. It's a perfect spot. Now, any easement that I ever sold to land was only because it was necessary for maintenance. Is it necessary to have an easement, or can you get, I don't know, this is a legal question, can you just get a right of way for the term of construction? I don't know.
Get a temporary easement.
Temporary easement.
But I would think these people would not gift you an easement unless you agreed to maintain.
Unless you agreed to maintain, yeah. Yeah. So if you have a permanent easement, you can go and maintain however you see fit.
As long as you stay inside the measurements.
Yeah.
I would think we would want a permanent easement.
Okay.
I mean, it's not, drainage is eventually going to need maintenance. Right? Instead of going back and doing the easements all over again later on.
What if one of them says no? Does it kill the deal?
Yes. See, that's it. It's the last opportunity.
Can we have a plan B with maybe a temporary easement?
Well, I don't know. I don't see how that would work because then how do you maintain it if the temporary expires? Then don't you become liable?
Fills up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll throw a number out. Like, what do the board think about $2,000 per easement? I mean, the job's probably going to definitely have to be bonded for, but I visited county planning, Mr. Bucks here. There is flood mitigation money available. So, three years ago, we did two jobs on the Ravine Drive. The county was gracious and funded us at 50%. And both of those jobs have made a total difference in that neighborhood, those people.
I think we were also talking that we could approach it once we had some hard figures.
Yeah, we got to put together.
Oh, an approach.
I'm going to put together two separate packages. Hedgewood Place, I think, can be accomplished because there's no easement issues and we got a pretty good handle on that. Crescent Circle, it's still marginal. But what does the board think of offering $2,000 per easement one time?
I wish I knew. I don't have an expertise in that. Is there a way, Mr. Schmidt, to look and see what the precedent for that is?
Well, it wouldn't be a precedent. You'd probably hire an appraiser to give you an idea. What a temporary or permanent easement. Yeah.
When we did the water districts, when we had to leave right-of-way property, one was $12,000. One was free water for life. And one elderly family accepted $2,000, and they were happy as heck. So you just don't know.
I don't have any input. How do you feel about that?
As far as a good starting point, I would say that, yes.
That's what I'm thinking.
It doesn't sound reasonable as far as that goes.
Yeah, put a package together.
Yeah, Bill's got some of the information I gave him. Hopefully it'll help him. If not, just charge us more of them. We have to secure those three before we can move forward. We haven't spent a nickel on the new cost. Sam's going to have all the materials, except for the excavation and, of course, the clearing of the woods, which we're working on. And we hope it comes through. If it doesn't, one thing we did do was exhaust every option we could to help those people. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. But we're still trying.
We'll have a plan B shot, or did you say there's only one shot?
This is it. We're on phase three.
Yeah.
No, I mean, if you make them an offer, they say no. Is there a plan B?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, we might want to think about it, because I don't think we can't afford knowing this.
Yeah, well.
So have a plan B for it.
Yeah, we'll see what comes back.
So do you want me to include that?
Yes, please.
Okay. $2,000.
Could you also put in there that we need three easements, all three have to. That way that somebody doesn't think they're going to get it when the neighbor says no. So thanks, Bill. Yeah, so we're still working on it. I'm confident we can do something. We'll keep you abreast. It's been a long time. Okay, the next is federal grant FY2026. I'm just going to go over a history of this since we started. In 2023, we applied for a $550 grant towards our proposed town trash transfer recycling building that's shovel-ready to go at the highway garage. Through Congressman Brandon Williams' office. In 23, there were 69 applications and only 15 awarded. We were not one of the awards. In 2024, we reapplied with Congressman Williams and were told we were going to get the grant for $550. The grant made it through the House Appropriations Committee and was in the Senate for approval, and the Trump administration canceled all FY 2025 community grants. That's what this would be called. So, after fighting this through conversations with Congresswoman Elise Stefanik's office, she's our Congresswoman, New York 21, former Chief of Staff for Brandon Williams, John Salka was very nice, I spoke with him, and I spoke with Senator Charles Schumer's office. On Wednesday, April 3rd, Mr. Schumer's office said the FY 2026 federal grant had to be in by 11:59, Friday, April 4th. They sent me all the needed links to apply for the grant. I contacted our grant writer, Mr. Don Hall. He's been doing it since the 70s. Unbelievable gentleman. Don and myself worked all day, and we got the 10-page grant put in on time Friday evening. Karen assisted Thursday, scanning information from the previous activity at the grant, and we were able to submit it on Friday, April 4th, and it was confirmed that we got it. And then we already went over the thing with the $500, the vote. That's over. It was 4-1. Dan rescinded his yes vote, which made it 4-1. And it was tough because it's an urgency of the matter. If we didn't get it in by Friday, April 4th, we would have had to wait another calendar year to apply. And these things don't move very fast. So it's in. Right now, Karen and myself are working on 4 letters of support from the county executive, the head of Herkimer, Oneida Solid Waste, Senator Griffo, Assemblywoman Buttonshan, and I prepared one for the town board as a whole, a letter of support. So right now I just need to know if all board members want me to sign their name, or if you don't want to be on it, let me know. It doesn't matter. You in?
I'm in, absolutely.
I'm in.
Okay, so I spoke with Senator Schumer's rep, real nice fellow named Josh Proby, and the letters of support I can give to him, he works at the Sheriff's office, and he can attach it to the application that's already in. And we'll just wait and see. I mean, my opinion is we can't afford this building without a grant. It'd be the nicest thing, one of the nicest things that ever happened to Deerfield. 200 plus days a year, the residents could bring their stuff there. Trash, recyclables, no charge to the resident. That's a nice service for our residents. We don't have a lot of, we're not like a big town like New Hartford, but be a super thing to have. It's a state-of-the-art building. Dumpsters are recessed in the ground. There's no lifting and slide of stuff down a catwalk into the dumpsters. So we've got the dumpster truck. We've got the dumpsters. We just don't have the building. But we'll keep you abreast. We'll get information now and then. Mr. Perlman said he'd keep me in the loop. And the only other thing I have is we purchased quite a bit of highway equipment coming in 2025. Pretty much, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Anyway. Some of it's already here.
So there's one more item. Well, we got the track hole. We got two plow trucks coming.
Skid steer.
New skid steer. And the pickup truck, the F-350, Sam got some prices together. This is just to talk about. The new one, low mini bid price was $51,437.50. And is that a 9-foot plow?
8.5.
8.5 Fisher.
Yep.
An 8.5 Fisher plow, $85,57 was low bid. So a new truck would be $59,994. And we have two options on our current truck: trade it in or use Auctions International, whatever brings the best price. So if we wanted to do this, it cost, we're looking at $40,000 for the trade-in with the old truck and the plow. We could get a brand new 2025 for F-350 for 20 grand, so.
What year is the one we got right now?
22.
22. So a three-year plan?
Yeah.
We've been on a three-year plan.
Yeah. The problem is a 42,000 miles, and when you get over 50,000 miles, your trade-in becomes marginal. So, I don't know. I don't know how the board feels about it. We got a little bit of time. We can afford it. I think it's something that, then we should be in great shape for quite a few years. I mean, we got some nice stuff coming. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Town Clerk, Karen Day.
I don't have much. I just before I came in here, I got an email from a resident down in Meadow, the Meadows development. And she was complaining that on the corner of Trenton and Firehouse Road, there's about four or five local or business signs. And she says it makes it look dumpy. So she just wanted to let us know that.
Okay.
And that's it.
Did she leave her number?
Yeah, I have it on email.
Okay. Yeah, if you want, if you'd like, I'll grab it and I'll give her a call.
I'll get you the number.
Okay. You want to do youth as well?
Oh, yes. We did our in-house movie last week. We set up the big TV here. We had kids in their pajamas and their pillows and everything. We showed Lion King 2. It was a hit. We provided goodies for them as if they were at the movie theater, and they enjoyed it. This week, the day before Easter, we are offering admission. I'm sorry?
The extravaganza.
Yes, the Easter admission to the Easter Utica Zoo's Easter
extravaganza.
Yeah.
Technical term.
So, yes. And I think there's Candy Bar Bingo after that, which is a huge hit. And thankfully, the firehouse, we outgrew this building a while ago, but the firehouse is always gracious enough to give us the hall, and we fill it. Right? It's quite filled. Sometimes the candy bar take is 30 candy bars, so.
And also we have a park cleanup day. The
cleanup
got moved to April 26th.
Yes.
Due to weather.
There is a town resident down in the Spec development. She commented on Facebook about a cleanup day. And I told her, I said, I have my hand in too many things right now, but hell, if you want to do it, that would be great. And she took it and she ran with it, and she got some extra help, and she set the date. It was supposed to be last Saturday. Unfortunately, it was nasty, and so she's rescheduled it. She canceled it. She's rescheduled it for next,
I think it's
the 26th of April.
At 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock to 12, 1 o'clock. She does have donuts. Holland Farms offered to give her a box of donuts to help, mm-hmm. and she'll have water and gloves and all kinds of stuff. So if you want some exercise, I highly suggest you do that. Unfortunately, I have a baby shower, so I won't be there.
All right.
And that's it.
Thanks, Karen.
Yep.
Sam, Highway.
Yeah, we're in the process of trying to get a lot of projects started off. Unfortunately, the weather hasn't been too conducive. We are in spring cleanup right now. We're trying to get some sweeping done, get all our loose materials picked up, leaves from the fall, any frost that fell. So we're in the process. It's kind of a slow process doing that, but we're in the process right now of doing that. The new MS4 permit, 5-year permit, is because the EDC is done. Our MS4 report for the year, I submitted already. A lot of the new permitting requirements are some big changes that have to do with a lot of training through myself and some other people in town be involved with that. I'll let you know this more that comes forward. But there's going to be quite a bit more reporting on this new permitting process. And it pretty much all goes through my office. So I'll be taking care of the permitting stuff, and this training comes, I will let the board know about that. We're working on, we've been working on trying to get some of this bridge installed down here. It's been a little slower going than I anticipated with the weather. We are picking away at that. The track hole that's out here right now is our new one. It sounds like we spent a bunch of money, but we've got a whole lot of money for our old stuff. You know, our old track hole, we got $75,000 on trade for. So this new one only costs us, what, 42 something, yep. 40, 47 something?
Yeah, 47.
You know, and the same with the skid steer. Yep. That was updated. We got a lot of money for that. So that's how those processes work to keep our equipment up to date. The trucks will be coming. The one is built, waiting for Paul equipment on. It's in Watertown right now. The other one is supposed to be built, the Mac, but I haven't gotten confirmation that it hasn't been built yet. And we'll just be moving forward with projects. Oh, I have, if anybody's been down to Broadacre site, I have a lot of millings stored down there from the years we've been milling up roads. We've invented a screener, and we're going to be down there screening those millings down to 2-inch minus. And some of those will be using to pave some of our dirt roads. Other millings will be using out of that pile for shoulder backup material. So if you see us down there working, you'll know what it's about. If the board wants to see the quotes, I got them on the screen. They're right here. That's all I got.
All right. Thank you, Sam. Buildings and codes. Mr. Maxwell has submitted a report to the board members for review. Assessor George. And if you'd like,
wrap it up in 24 years for the final things. Everybody, the kids changing, we'll get notice.
And the rolls were submitted?
Yeah, the rolls were submitted this morning.
Oh, great.
Along with all the mandatory reports to County Real Property. About 50 letters will be sent out tomorrow or Wednesday that were just kind of recent changes of the assessment. Nothing wild or out of the ordinary to report there. So, yeah, I guess that's the current status. So we'll be, so over the next month will be a mandatory 16 hours to be open to the public and sit with the roll. Those get published by the County Real Property on the 1st of May. So, and then grievance day, you're supposed to kind of be open to the public with the roll for any kind of comment to talk about any discrepancies up until grievance day on the 27th. And so there'll be a public notice that we'll have to put out as far as what the hours are going to be for the quote sitting with the roll. And then that's it. So 2025 tax rolls, tentative rolls submitted this morning.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just get those dates to Karen. She can add those to the website and get them posted for the public hearing.
Yeah, we have office hours tomorrow. We're going to nail that down and get with Karen and publish those dates. So we've got about 2 weeks.
Okay, great. Thank you. Planning Board, Patty.
Well, I think you already addressed our biggest point as far as the moratorium on the local law that pertains to the storage facilities in the town. We'd really like to look that law over again and bring it up to a better standard. I think it's with what we saw that comes over the fire, that was had to be Jefferson County, with the issues they had, it really opened up a lot of eyes on the planning board as far as our, the power laws written. And it needs to be definitely can't think of a word. There's so much that needs to happen to it. I mean, it really needs to be enhanced. There's so many things that went wrong at the fire in Jefferson County that emergency management response was just overwhelmed. And our town would face the same thing with a small volunteer fire department, mutual aid. So definitely the tier two regulations have to be tightened up.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. We do have a new town historian. I don't know if he's present. He was here earlier. I don't know if he... his name is John Facci. Super excited gentleman. So welcome him aboard. Parks Committee, Debbie.
So our proposal for the reconstruction, I guess, of Crazy Park and the Yuling Park was submitted to Buttonshine's office. I followed up with the woman who had his grants in that, and she's been yelled at by the state for contacting them because they're in budget negotiations. So until the budget negotiations are done, we won't have an answer.
Okay.
I did finally find an engineer to draw plans for dugouts for the girls' softball field. And I have his letter, his proposal for his fee is $2,500. I don't know if there's any way that we can agree on this tonight because, what's her name? Wattis Foundation has a $250,000 grant that the deadline application is May 1st. So I just got this the other day. Had a hard time finding an engineer who would do this for us. I don't know if it's something the board has to make a resolution or if it's something that you can just vote on. Because then what I'll have to do is get a rough quote construction-wise and submit it to Wattis. And their turnaround is pretty quick, so it's possible that we could get things going this year on this project. So
this is
what the procedure for approval is.
This is something that Wattis should be able to cover in the grant.
Yes, well, they've advertised it, and even without the, they have a, I saw it on advertised on Facebook and a couple other places. They're calling it a Grand Slam grant. It's some special grant that they have, but it's not the only thing that they have.
Right. I've seen the grant.
Yeah. So pretty heavy. When I talked to them last year, they're very fast at turning around grant requests. If you submit it, they call together the committee, they take 2 weeks to approve it or not approve it. And once they approve it, within 2 weeks you get your check. So I just felt that this is a worthy project that, you know, we could possibly get done this year if we can get things submitted pretty quick. So having that's just, you know, trying to find the construction to get it done. So anyway, I don't know what the process is.
Yeah.
That. So this would be a lump sum not to exceed $2,500, and the rest of the project's covered through a grant.
So this is to get the drawings created for, you know, the substructure and the structure of the gates, everything to build it, and then we have to get a PE to approve. This gentleman isn't there. There aren't very many PEs around. The city of Utica doesn't even have their own PE anymore. So then we would have to find a PE to approve the drawings. I know a PE out of town. If we're really desperate, I asked Dave Buck if there's one at the county who could review and approve the drawings. Hopefully there is, because PE approvals are pretty expensive. They're like $5,000 for a PE.
Yeah, because of the assumption of liability. That's the issue.
So But this gentleman, if you, in the fourth paragraph, he's going to design one field visit, which I've already met him at the field and, with another engineer, and up to three revisions to the drawings based on comments from, you know, something I passed by you and anybody else with a construction background and like take a look at. So it's a reasonable price for engineers from all the ones I quoted, because I got quotes higher than this for non-PE engineers. So. And he is an engineer, so.
I'm looking at our budget, and it's kind of a bad time to look because it's winter. But we have a parks contractual expense that this could probably right. fall under. So far, we spent $31.68.
Yeah.
So, Karen, did you spend that on candy bars?
So, no. I'm gloves.
Gloves. What's that, Deb?
We have money in the parks budget. That's how we're buying the Kubota.
Yeah, that's capital reserve. That's
right.
Okay.
I would like to take it out of the operating budget. You know, we just knocked the capital reserve down 20. But we.
Well, I've been asking in two meetings if I could go out and price an engineer, and it sounded like you guys.
Yeah.
Said yeah, we can afford it. So.
Yeah. We. Oh yeah. One way or another. I mean, it's pretty cut and dry what it's not going to exceed. So you know, it's a bit of a gamble, like our federal grant where. You got to take a little gamble to get a reward. So, how do you guys feel about spending $2,500?
Yeah, it's been in the works. I think we should go for it, especially if, you know.
And there's some money as far as the parks budget?
In the parks budget, there's $5,400, mm-hmm. but we have capital money.
We have capital reserve fund we can run. Yep.
And that's what it's there for making improvements to make it better for everyone.
Yeah.
As long as Karen didn't spend the $31, which I'll find out.
I think I did. I think I bought the gloves with that.
So how do you feel, Mr. Schuster? Okay.
Well, I trust that Deb did her homework. I would have to defer to the supervisor whether or not it's fiscally responsible.
Yeah, I think in the grand scheme of things, it's what the town residents are looking for, you know. Yeah. It'd be a great asset for the softball girls and then anybody who's in the field. So, I, personally, I'm all for it. I don't know how everyone else feels.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
I agree.
Can we
verbally approve it and put the right
motion?
Okay, so we'll make a motion to approve the requested fee for the engineer of $2,500.
What would it be, 31-2025?
30, what's that? Yes.
Can you sign it so then I can
Can I get a different? Do you have another copy? I've already been scribbling on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I will sign it.
Hey, Deb, the only reason we approved it is we roped into the water board job.
Yeah. So that'll be a motion to approve resolution 31-2025.
And he said like 2 weeks. I said a week. He said okay. So.
Good deal.
Pretty persuasive.
Because I told him we need it for the possibility of the wasps. So.
Yeah. Well, I hope it all works out.
I'll make that motion.
There'll probably be an argument over girls softball too.
Okay, thank you.
All people's field.
You mentioned you got it. Up for construction, right?
No.
You got it. No, you got it.
I make the motion to approve it.
No, I know, but you were talking about. I think last
I'll year about
some people that were interested.
I approve.
No, some groups that would do.
Oh, it's sloppy.
And I'll write that up.
Okay, so you want to make the motion? Yeah. Did you make it?
I did make the motion. I think either Daphne or Dan seconded.
I got Daphne and Dan, and
we got all
in favor.
All
right.
All right.
All right.
Okay, so Sam asked a question about having somebody lined up. I mentioned for construction. So the professor from MBCC, the construction trades, they do carpentry in the fall, masonry in the spring. He said the classes aren't always somebody that he wants to do a project. So I was kind of like, we could talk 3 years before we are able to do it, because the masonry would have to be in the spring, which means if it were today, which means next spring.
I just didn't know.
So that's why I thought, you know, we should go out for bid, you know, or get a quote and then try and get a grant to just pay for it. And the thing with the MVCC, not that we couldn't use them for any other projects, but they provide the labor, we provide the materials. So.
You know, may I comment on that? I just got my creative mind going, and I would have to ask Mr. Schmidt, I don't know the logistics of this, but we have some really good retired masons in our town. What would it be if somebody decided to volunteer their services for the town to build this? Is that a...
It's a liability issue we have to address.
And it's a huge, I mean, we're talking, they were talking four footers.
Footers.
And that's a pretty big project for a single mason, in my opinion. I have a limited construction background.
I know you.
Not just my house, my working facility, so.
It's just a thought, like I said, you just, you know, got my mind going a little.
And then, you probably heard it was in the newsletter, but the Blood Moon Snowshoe Fest went off really well. I think it would have been bigger, but everybody thought we didn't have snow. But Hal Brown, you know, congratulations to him. He worked every day, and as you guys know, packed snow lasts a lot longer than the snow in our yards. So there was plenty of snow. I came back and snowshoed the next day, but we had people from a whole bunch of different towns and asking if we were going to do it again next year. We didn't do the usual chips and soda, and we got some nice refreshments, and everybody was really impressed. And so it went off really well. So we're going to do a couple more next year, and that's about it.
Okay, great. Yeah, and I appreciate you and Stephanie. You know, I've had a lot of kids in the area come up to me already that are really excited about seeing what happens with Brazy.
Oh,
so
the other thing. We wrote the grant. Did we get paid for
money? Yeah, we'll send you a check. Do you take us an H Green Seal? Sorry, I'm out of business.
Thanks, Steph.
Thank you.
Senior. Laura.
Do you want ZBA also?
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. I skipped right over. I have so many notes on my page. Go ahead.
The zoning board will be meeting in the next 3 weeks. We have received one application for a variance on Davis Road. And we're going to have to look into it a little bit more before I set the date. Our seniors are meeting regularly on Thursday. Last week we had our ham dinner for Easter. And this week is going to be our pizza.
So pizza Thursday,
pizza and salad, so they'll stay healthy. I also am setting up an AARP class. I don't have the date. It'll be sometime about the third week in May. For anybody that it helps on your insurance, you get 10% off the base price on most insurances, so. And it's open to all ages because we've had some young people that have come in, etc. It's a one-day course from 9 to 3:30 with a break for lunch. Bring your own lunch.
All right, thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Town Attorney, Mr. Schmidt.
Just, I've given a local law to Karen that you'll have a public hearing on with respect to battery storage. Make sure each of you get a copy of it. You're supposed to have it 10 days before the public hearing. If you're going to adopt it on the night of the public hearing.
Okay.
And what is that public hearing?
It's the night of the next meeting, May 12th at 6:15.
Do you have a copy or you want me to?
I have a copy, yes.
Okay.
All right, no media time. So move on to late privilege. Mr. Hydus, Deerfield Snow Trails.
I expected to be here about 20 minutes. my name is Bill Hydus. I live on Miller Road, Deerfield.
part of a, is for, I'm here for a not-for-profit organization, but we're funded by ourselves. I represent the trail coordinator for the Deerfield Snow Trail Snowmobile Club. I brought the president with me, Ryan Bernacci. He just doesn't like to talk in front of people. I'll give you a little bit of background on what the Snowmobile Club does here in Deerfield. We maintain 40 miles of trail. We have two trailheads at two businesses that are in Deerfield. The Eagles Club is a trailhead for us, and 12 North Sports Bar is another trailhead for us. We maintain, like I said, 40 miles of trail, two Class A groomers, and we are 100% volunteer-run organization. There's only four crossings to get from Herkimer County to Oneida County on Snowmobile Trail. We own two of them. One's in Bell Hill, one's in Poland. The next one is up in Hinkley, the following one is in McKeever. It's the only way, for snowmobiles to get from Oneida to Herkimer County in the whole state. So, we are a 501c3 not-for-profit organization. We are tax exempt. Like I said, all of our 100% run by volunteers. There's a couple over here. Gary's an old volunteer from years past. All of our money comes from a trail grant. 80% of our money comes from a trail grant that was given by snowmobile registrations. There's zero tax dollars from anybody in this room that didn't have a snowmobile registration given to snowmobile clubs. In fact, we get about $24,000 a year to run the trail system. This year I put in $52,000 worth of expenses. The rest of that money comes from memberships and donations. That's how we do chicken barbecue, fundraisers, raffle tickets, personal donations, whatever. That's where our money comes from. We don't get any of these other grants. Most of those type of grants, the snowmobile clubs do not qualify for. The only other grant we can get is an RTP grant through Recreational Trails Program. That's a federally funded grant for grooming equipment or trail system. But you got to have the right grant writer and you got to have the right wording to get that grant, which actually is very easy for a town to get that grant. Most, there's a few towns that have gotten grants for the snowmobile. That's not what I'm here. Over the years, the club has grown immensely. We got 250 members on average, between 200 to 250 on average. We have two Class A groomers, like I said. We have mowing machines, chainsaws, signs, stakes, and everything. All of that equipment is stored in my house, in my personal barns. All of it. And including the culverts that we have, the bridge materials, any of the lumber to get pulled, all of that stuff is currently stored in my house. What's that?
You're a heck of a good guy.
So, with the club growing as much as it has, it's time for them to find their own location. What we're looking for is to build a 50 by 60 pole. What we'd like to do, we want it in the middle to the northern end of town. That's kind of where most of our trail system is. It maintains a lot of, that holds more snow. Once you get up on top of Deerfield Hill, generally there's snow. The two trailheads, they start running out of snow early, so have anything down on the south side of the hill doesn't give us any good. It's got to be up on the top. What we're looking for is if the town board would entertain allowing us to build it at the town garage. There's plenty of property there. We'd like to build the building. It'd be strictly storage. We don't want a clubhouse. We don't want a place to have chicken barbecues. We don't want a place to have meetings. We've got all of that. We want strictly storage of the grooming equipment, the signs, the stakes, the mowers. With any luck, we're going to try and get a tractor this year, so the club's got its own tractor to mow. Right now, they rent the tractor from my father to do all the mowing and all the stuff like that. we would obviously pay for the insurance, pay for the building, pay for your electric, heat, whatever we decide to put in there. It would be a strictly storage building alone. But that's what we're looking for. There's a couple of clubs already in Oneida County that do this. The town of Westmoreland has one. And the city of Rome, there's a lot of Westmoreland riders that do it. It's the ones that the town of Westmoreland is at the town of Westmoreland building. There's an Easy Riders one is at the town of Westmoreland compound. I don't know if it's a firehouse or if it's, I don't know if you know where it is. It's over there by the town garage, and it's in there someplace. The one at the City of Rome is at Erie Canal Village. That's where the City of West Rome keeps theirs. That's what we're looking for. But we'd like to see if that would be possible.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
I have a question, though. Mr. Schmidt might have to help me. When I had Dave Buck's job for 10 years, we leased the property from Broad Acres. It's owned by the county. Would you guys be interested in like a 100-year lease for a dollar?
Yes, yeah, 100. That's.
Bill, is that something we could
do? That's how the. I'm not sure. I know there's. The one club, it's a 50-year lease for a dollar. The other club, it's a $100 lease for a dollar. Yes, definitely something along those lines, because I'm not going to be here for 50 years.
Right, and if it's 100, there ain't anybody in this room that can.
But yeah, some definitely keep it there. The other part that I left out is if our club does go defunct, you guys keep it going. The equipment, unfortunately, the way that our bylaws are written in the club, the equipment has to be dispersed and the money given to any the nearest snowmobile club to where that money.
Bill, is that something we could account
for? Yeah, I'm working on a similar agreement for another town south of here, but there are some issues that have to be worked out and can be put into
it. What would be the first course of action to locate a spot?
Okay, a spot, and then would your club be the responsible for the construction?
Yes. We're not going to build it, we're going to have it built, because there's none of us volunteers that have the time to do that, but we're going to have it built.
There are going to be liability issues with respect to labor law and so forth, but that all can be worked out.
Okay.
But we have to go through this. I have a list. We can.
What would be easier, that or selling them a chunk? No. What do you think, Bill? You want to lease it?
I don't want to pay taxes on it. But there is ways around that, because I can tell you this, there's some snowmobile clubs out there in Oneida County that has clubs that are not paying.
I had to draw that out of you. I know. We're going to see that.
Aren't you a 501c3? Do you pay taxes? Do you pay taxes or not as a 501c3?
We pay. No, we don't pay any taxes. We don't bring enough money to pay taxes.
Yep.
Oh, you still have to pay the property.
You still have to apply for a property tax exemption.
Well, there's an exemption that you apply for. But
so why don't you get together with Sam, get a map. Right. Sam should be instrumental here because it's down at the
highway. Yeah, absolutely.
And see what you come up with, and we'll go to Bill from there. If the board's in agreement, why not?
Yeah, Sam can forward anything to us, and then, CC Bill.
It doesn't matter where we put it. I mean, on their prep, I mean, I'd like to be on the uphill side of it, so kind of on the bottom side of it.
Right.
There'd be no traffic, there's going to be no traffic going in there, except for the groomer operators that are there at the same time them guys are plowing. I see them all the time. They chase each other around all the way along.
Did you say how large the building would be?
It's going to be about 50 by 60. We got two Class A groomers. We want to be able to get them inside with the drags hooked to them, and then store all of our other equipment.
So when I added on to my bill, or when I first built my barn building years ago, it was over 500 square feet, and it had notice had to be sent to all the neighbors to see if anybody disapproved, right? Would this be subjected to that same process?
That's why I want to build it on town land.
Okay, Mr. Schmidt, if we're on town land, would it still be subjected to that process? Yeah. I just want to know that ahead of time, right?
Your codes officer would have to approve the building.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if we charge him for a building permit. Your board would have to discuss that. But all of the regulations would have to be followed. We'd have to have insurance in place.
Mm-hmm.
The big concern in the other agreement I'm working on is what happens to the building when you no longer need it for whatever reason.
Well, that's why I say the only way we would no longer need it is if global warming actually happened and there was no winter anymore, or the club became defunct. You guys keep the building, because there's going to be nothing. If the club goes defunct, the equipment is already going to be dispersed to the highest bidder.
And again, and this all could be worked out in an agreement, but who's going to maintain the building? If the building starts to
the club will maintain
falter,
I would think the club would be responsible.
The club.
Well, I'm sure that must be the ownership of the building.
But what happens if you don't like the way they're maintaining it? I mean, there's a lot of shades.
Well, I mean, that could be in an agreement.
Yeah. It can.
Yes.
I'm not suggesting that it's a
Is this just a clear scan building?
Yeah, it's going to be a whole one.
Just a whole one. So you look at it to see if it could be a multi-use building if ever it defaults back to the town, right?
It's not going to be very high because the doors are only 12 feet.
The entrances, the doors, make sure you get a truck through and that sort of stuff. So it could be.
We want it set up so we can drive through it.
Right.
Yeah.
The groomers are walled.
Yeah.
They don't back up very well. Yeah. They're walled. They're made to go straight. So
yeah.
We want to be able to come in one end, swing around and walk the other end.
Okay, yeah, so why don't you get with Sam? Sam can, he'll get you in the schedule and you can start taking a look at maps and we'll get a game plan going here.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thanks for waiting.
Thank you.
No problem.
You missed dinner.
No, I didn't. I missed dessert, but anyway.
Go ahead, Deb.
Something that I didn't add, and this isn't against you, but I did, and Hal got a couple complaints of snowmobiles were on the town trails. I know you have a hard time. I see your post yelling at your guys to stay off of certain properties too, but and I'm not saying it's them, but and then also somebody else told me there's been four wheelers on the trails recently.
We have signs posted at most of the main entrances. I myself have called the police when I've seen them go in, but by the time
it's hard to police.
I just wanted to
and the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always a tough battle.
Okay.
All right, thank you. No executive session, so we'll move on to motion to pay bills. Oh, I'm sorry. Is there anyone else for late privilege before I move on?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Short-term rentals like Airbnb, is it prohibited? What if someone breaks it and still continues to rent them out? Is there consequences? Like, what are the consequences?
Violation of our zoning law should be prosecuted by the service of a notice to remedy and then prosecution to obtain a fine from the court.
Okay. All right. Motion to pay bills. Let's see. We have general fund. Need a motion to pay general fund bills 99. Through 140.
I'll make that motion.
Right, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
We need a motion to pay highway bills 51 through 78.
My motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
And I need a motion to pay sewer bill number 3.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
And I need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make it.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Hasn't it?